Here we go. So we're looking at the blessing of Abraham and the last thing that God said regarding that blessing.
We're in Genesis 12.
We'll pick it up in verse 2. God to Abram saying, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. All families of the earth shall be blessed in Abraham. So it's that last part that I want to take a look at in detail tonight, how all families of the earth are to be blessed in Abraham. So the word families here, it's mishpacha is the Hebrew word, and it means a clan or a family, you know, those that are related, could deal with animals as a species or a kind. And in fact, the first place that it is used on Esword, if I do control click, I'm using a Mac, it would be a right click if you're using Windows, but you can do a search of that Hebrew word and it will show you every place that it's used. And this word is used 303 times in 224 verses in the Bible. And the first place that it's used is in Genesis 8:19. I always like to look at the first place. It gives you a good idea of what the word's about. And this has to do with Noah and the animals that were with him on the ark. Okay, in Genesis 8:19. We'll start in verse 18 to get the context. Says, and Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his son's wife with him. This is at the end of the year that they were in the ark. Remember, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, but it was an entire year that they were inside the ark. And finally, God told them it's time to get out. So Noah went forth with his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives. And then verse 19 says, every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. It's this word kinds, is that word mishpacha, okay? That's translated families in Genesis 12:3 that we were looking at. So it has to do with living things that are related to each other. And it's interesting that all the animals in the world, outside of the fish in the sea, are descendants of the animals that were in the ark with Noah. Every bird, every land animal, every four-footed beast and every creeping thing, all the bugs and the lizards and everything, they're all descendants of those animals that were with Noah in the ark. It says so right here. Okay? Now, when it comes to people, look at chapter 9 of Genesis, verse 18. It says, and the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. So every human being that's alive today are descendants of Noah and, of course, his three sons. So when it comes to all the families of the earth, they all go back to these three men and their wives, and they repopulated the whole earth. So all the descendants of Cain, for example, and the other brothers and sisters of Seth, you know, Seth was the one from Adam who was in the bloodline up to Noah. Everybody else, their families don't exist anymore. They're all dead. They all died in the flood. But Noah was the only survivor in his three sons after him, and is their wives, and the whole earth now is populated by the descendants of these people. Let's go to chapter 10. This is a chapter that hardly anybody reads in great detail. They usually skim through it because it just has a lot of names and it can seem very boring to read. But we're going to read it because this is really interesting when you think of all the families of the earth. Back at this time that this was written, it was a lot easier to keep track of everybody. And there's names in here that will come up later on in the Bible. Not all of them do necessarily, but a lot of them do, and they're significant. So in chapter 10, verse 1, it says, "Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood." So none of these had any children before the flood, but all three of them had children after the flood. Verse 2 says, "The sons of Japheth were Gomer and Magog and Madai and Javan and Tubal and Meshach and Tyrus." Okay? Magog comes up in the book of Revelation. You know, it talks about Gog and Magog being the nations that the devil gathers together to fight against Jesus Christ and the saints, right? So it's a big nation. And it started out here. Magog was one of the sons of Japheth, who was the son of Noah, okay? Madai, that's where you get the Medes. Remember the Medes and the Persians? The Medes come from this guy, Madai. So all of his family after him, that was the Medes, the Median Empire. Thousands of years later, conquers the Babylonians, right? Javan and Tubal, I'm not sure if they come up much. Tyrus, there was a town called Tyre. It might have something to do with that, but I'm not sure. But it talks about, in verse 3, the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz and Riphath and Togarmah, and the sons of Javan are Elisha and Tarshish, Kittim and Dodanim. Tarshish comes up later in the book of Jonah, because there's a city called Tarshish that he goes to instead of going to Nineveh where God told him to go. So Tarshish, his descendants establish a city later on. Verse 5 says, "By these descendants of Japheth, were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families, in their nations." Because, you know, at the Tower of Babel incident, they were separated into individual families with their own languages, so the families weren't able to communicate with each other, at least at that time. So the families that descended from Japheth, they settled around the Mediterranean, the islands and the coastal areas, and generally to the north were all descendants of Japheth. So that would include probably the Europeans and, you know, the Germans, the French and the English and those. It doesn't talk about the Germans, French and English here because they hadn't become separate nations at that point, but they would have been descendants of Japheth here. Okay. In verse 6, it says, "And the sons of Ham were Cush and Mizraim and Phut and Canaan." Now, it talks about Israel living in the land of Ham before the Exodus, because Ham settled in Africa, although some of his descendants settled in, you know, the Mesopotamia region as well. So Africa, northern Africa, was called the land of Ham. Now, Cush means black, and it's translated many times Ethiopia. So the black tribes were descendants of Cush, okay? And when you read about Ethiopia in the Bible, and it's used like 19 times in the Bible, it's translated from this word Cush, okay? So whenever you read Ethiopia, think Cush. Cush was the son of Ham, who was the son of Noah. And Mizraim. Mizraim is translated Egypt 586 times. See that? Egyptian 89 times. It's translated Mizraim 4 times. So it's usually translated Egypt or Egyptian. So when you see Mizraim here, he was one of the sons of Ham, but all the Egyptians were from the family of Mizraim. And Phut, it says Libya. It's translated Libya a couple of times. So the Libyans are descendants of Phut, son of Ham, son of Noah, and then Canaan. So the land of Canaan was the area where Israel settled, and the Canaanites were the descendants of Canaan, who was son of Ham, son of Noah. See? Now it says in verse 7, it talks about the sons of Cush, the Ethiopians. There was Seba and Havilah, that name comes up later on, and Sapta and Raama and Saptica, and the sons of Raama, Sheba and Dedan. Remember the queen of Sheba that went to visit Solomon. This is that Sheba. Sheba was one of the sons of Raamah, who was the son of Cush. So it's like a subset of the Cushites was Sheba. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. Remember, the Tower of Babel. Nimrod was the whole leader who organized that project. And Babel is also translated Babylon. So the whole Babylonian Empire with Nebuchadnezzar and all them, that comes from Babel. So this Nimrod, that was the beginning of his kingdom, was Babel or Babylon. It all goes back to Nimrod. I remember there was a Daffy Duck and Elmer Fudd cartoon where Daffy Duck called Elmer Fudd a Nimrod. And I used to think that was meaning like numbskull or idiot. But what he meant was he was a hunter. Elmer Fudd was always hunting ducks and rabbits, right? So when he called them a Nimrod, he was calling him a mighty hunter. Verse 10, we read. Verse 11, it says, out of that land, meaning where Babel is, in the land of Shinar, out of that land went forth Ashur and builded Nineveh and the city Rehoboth and Calah. Ashur is the Assyrians. So he came out of that land, though Ashur, I think, was a descendant of Shem. But he built Nineveh, which is the capital of the Assyrians. So he went out of that land, but not necessarily out of that family. So he built Nineveh, the city Rehoboth, and Calah, and Rezin between Nineveh and Calah, the same as a great city. And I believe there's some archaeologists that found the ruins of that city and said it was a very big city. And Mizraim, you know, Egypt, begat Ludim and Anamim and Lahabim and Naphtuhim and Pethrusim and Casluhim, out of whom came Philistim, the Philistines, okay? So the Philistines were part of the family of Mizraim, but they separated out from Egypt and they had their own kingdom that was next to Egypt. And Canaan begat Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth. So Sidon, there was a city north of Israel called Sidon, and that's from this person. He was the son of Canaan, okay? And remember, Abraham bought a field to bury his wife Sarah in from the children of Heth. Mm-hmm. So this is that Heth is one of the sons of Canaan. And it says he was the progenitor of the Hittites. So you might have heard of the Hittite Empire. They were the descendants of Heth, son of Canaan. Verse 16, and he continues on with the other sons of Canaan, was the Jebusite. They come up later on. They're the ones that inhabit Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was originally called Jebus because of the Jebusites. And the Amorite. The Israelite in the Exodus had a big battle with Sihon, king of the Amorites. So the Amorites were descendants of Canaan. And the Girgashites, and the Hivites, and the Arkites, and the Sinite. And the Arvadite, and the Zemarite, and the Hemathite, and afterward were the families of the Canaanites spread abroad. It means they were dispersed. Well, they were dispersed when, you know, Joshua conquered the land at God's instruction, and they drove the Canaanites out of the land. So the Canaanites, most of them moved somewhere else. Some of them stayed in the land, and they were always a problem for the Israelites. There were pricks in their sides and thorns in their eyes, you know. But most of them were dispersed. And the border of the Canaanites was from Sidon, again, which was a little north of Israel's border, as thou comest to Gerar, which was where the Philistines live, one of the Philistine cities, unto Gaza. And the, you know, the Palestinians still live in that area today, and the Palestinians are descendants of the Philistines. As thou goest unto Sodom and Gomorrah, which was later destroyed in the days of Lot and Abraham, and Admah and Zeboiim, even unto Lasha. These are the sons of Ham, after their families, and that's that word, mishpacha, after their tongues, in their countries, and in their nations. That word nations is goy. You know, the Jewish people will call someone who's not Jewish a goy, meaning a Gentile. It means a nation, a larger extended family. Because the word nation in the Bible didn't mean necessarily a political division like the United States. The United States wouldn't be considered a nation in this respect because we're not all related to each other. It's a bunch of people that came from other nations that decided to live here, right? So as far as nations go, in this sense, nations are extended families that are all related to each other. Verse 21 says, unto Shem, also the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth, the elder, even unto him were children born. Now, it talks about all the children of Eber. Eber, also pronounced Heber, he was the father of the Hebrews, okay? So the Hebrews are descendants of Eber. And that is very significant when it comes to the Bible because that's the family that Abraham was from. I mean, they called him Abraham the Hebrew in Genesis 14. Let me just go quickly there. They had that battle with Chedorlaomer and all those were conquering their neighbors. In Genesis 14:13, it says, and there came one that escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite. Remember the Amorites? Brother of Eshcol, brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abram. So Abram was called Abram the Hebrew because he was part of the Hebrew family and Hebrew speaking. So back in Genesis 10, where we were, in verse 21, so it says unto Shem, one of the sons of Noah, he was the father of all the children of Eber, father of all the Hebrews, as well as others in the family. The brother of Japheth, the elder, even to him were children born. The children of Shem were Elam and Ashur and Arphaxad and Lud and Aram. So Asher, this is the Asher that all his descendants became the Assyrians, the ones that had Nineveh as their capital city. The Assyrians, at one point, centuries after this, invaded Israel and took them captive and dispersed them into other areas and brought other people into the area. And that's how we got the Samaritans. The Assyrians tried to invade Jerusalem in the days of Hezekiah the king, but God fought against them at the time. But Ashur, father of the Assyrians, was a son of Shem, okay? And then Arphaxad, from him comes the line down to Abraham, and then down to Jesus Christ. And then another of the sons of Shem was Lud, and I don't know too much about him, but it says they settled in northern Africa, and he was the supposed progenitor of the Lydians. And then there's Aram. That's the Arameans. That's where the Aramaic language comes from, okay? The Arameans or the Syrians. It's the Aram is often translated Syria in the Bible, as you can see there. So very significant family here. And the children of Aram, Uz and Hul and Gether and Mash. Now remember in the book of Job, where did he live? In the land of Uz. Okay, this Uz, son of Aram, son of Shem. And I don't think that's where Emerald City was at the time, the merry old land of Uz, but that's where Job lived. And then Arphaxad, one of the sons of Shem, begat Selah, and this is the Christ line here. He begat Selah, and Selah begat Eber, again, Heber, Hebrews. And unto Eber were born two sons. The name of the one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided. And I'm not sure what that refers to exactly, whether it refers to the physical continents dividing, or if it talks about the inhabitants of the earth being divided, say at the Tower of Babel incident. But in the days of, I guess when Peleg was born, Eber named him Peleg because the earth was divided at that time. And his brother's name was Joktan. Now, Joktan, his lineage does not lead to Abraham or Jesus Christ, but it tells you who came from Joktan. He begat Almodad and Sheleph and Azarmaveth and Jerah and Hadoram and Uzal and Dikla and Obal and Abimael and Sheba. That's a different Sheba from the one that was the son of Cush. And Ophir and Havilah. Now, Ophir is, it talks about the gold of Ophir. So wherever Ophir settled, there was like gold mines there, and they had really good gold there. And Jobab and all these were the sons of Joktan, and their dwelling was from Mesha, as thou goest unto Sephar, a mount of the east. These are the sons of Shem, after their families, their mishpacha, after their tongues, in their lands, after their nations, the goy, the nations, the extended families. These are the families of the sons of Noah, after their generations, in their nations, and by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. So again, everybody living today, they're descended from one of these three sons of Noah. And of course, you know, there's probably intermarrying between the families that have occurred, but we're all descended from these people. So we might not necessarily be able to trace our specific lineage, most of us, to know exactly which tribe that we came from, but we all go back to these people here, all go back to Noah. So let's look at Matthew chapter 8. Jesus Christ made this comment after he had that incident with the centurion, who was a Gentile and had a servant that was very sick at the point of death, and he sent a delegation to Jesus Christ asking him just to give the word. And he knew that if Jesus Christ would say so, that because of his authority, that his servant would be healed. And we'll pick it up in verse 10, Matthew 8:10. Says, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel, where he would expect to have found it. But he said, this man really understood believing in the authority of Jesus Christ and what his words were able to accomplish. Verse 11 says, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Meaning that there will be many that come from outside of Israel, people from the east of Israel, people from the west, and they'll sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, meaning those of Israel to whom the kingdom should have belonged, many of them will be cast out into outer darkness. Why? Because they wouldn't believe. Said, here's a Gentile who believed in Jesus Christ and believed in his authority and believed in him, you know? And there were so many in Israel that were part of his family that didn't believe in him. They should have inherited the kingdom of heaven, but they're going to be cast out into outer darkness, Jesus Christ said. They'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, okay? But again, he said at that time that many from the east and west would sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. They would be blessed in Abraham, okay? Because God said that all the families of the earth would be blessed in him. Now, he didn't necessarily say in what manner. There was things that were not revealed as far as the how of this, but the what of it, that all the families of the earth would be blessed in him, that was made known way back then. So Acts chapter 3, there's a statement that Peter made to the people of Israel immediately after the incident where he healed the lame man at the beautiful temple gate, the man that had been brought there every day, over 40 years old, and all of a sudden is walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people gathered around to see this because they all knew this guy. And now he's walking around, and Peter had an opportunity to preach to them. And he told them about Jesus Christ and that it was by this man's believing in the name of Jesus Christ that he was made whole. We'll pick it up in verse 24. It says, "Yea, in all the prophets, from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed." Okay, that refers to that blessing in Genesis 12, verse 3. Okay, God said it to Abraham, that in thee, and it was in thy seed, shall all the kindred of the earth be blessed. So that the way that God would bless all the families of the earth would be through Abraham's seed, through him and through his seed after him. Okay? Verse 26 says, "Unto you first, you men of Israel, first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." So all the nations of the earth would be blessed, starting with Israel, that nation. And then the others would be blessed as well. Now, the Apostle Paul, when he became an apostle, was given instructions by Jesus Christ. And we know that happened in Acts 9, but the story is retold in Acts 22 and also in Acts 26. I want to look at something that Jesus Christ said to him in Acts 26 regarding how all the families of the earth would be blessed. And we will start in Acts 26, verse 15. And this is, again, Paul retelling this story. So Paul said, "And I said, Who art thou, Lord?" This is when he was, you know, blinded by the bright light and then knocked down to the ground. He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles." Again, the Hebrew word was goy, but in Greek it's the word ethnos, okay? Ethnos, that's where we get ethnic from, ethnicity. The nations. So delivering thee from the people and from the nations, all the families of the earth, unto whom now I send thee. And this word send is the word apostello. From this word we get the word apostolos, meaning apostle. So the fact that Jesus Christ sent him, apostello, this is when Paul became an apostle, like right off the bat. This is like the day he got born again, and he's being sent. And he's sent unto the nations. Saul of Tarsus, a Pharisee who is persecuting the church, is now an apostle of Jesus Christ, sent to the nations, all the other families of the earth outside of Israel. Verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Again, the them is the Gentiles, the nations, to open their eyes, to turn them, the nations, from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they, the Gentiles, the nations, may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Okay? This is really when the mystery was revealed, that he would be sent to the nations and that they would receive forgiveness of sins and they would receive inheritance, become fellow heirs. You see? Receive an inheritance among them which are sanctified. Who had been sanctified up to that point? All the men of Israel that had believed in Jesus Christ, right? Up to that point, there were all people of Israel that believed in Jesus Christ that were sanctified or set apart by, you know, faith that is in me, by believing in Jesus Christ. And now it's around the same time that Peter preached to Cornelius and his family, the first Gentiles that believed and received the gift of Holy Spirit without becoming proselytes first, without learning the law and getting circumcised and committing themselves to the law. They just received the gift of Holy Spirit when they were told that Jesus Christ is Lord of all and that God raised him from the dead. And they believed that, and they received the gift of Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues for the first time. Now, around that same time, Paul is originally called Saul of Tarsus, but he's met on the road to Damascus by Jesus Christ and told that he is being sent to the Gentiles, to the nations, and that they would receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. You know, that fellow heirs, if you go to Ephesians chapter 3, where it spells out what the mystery is, in Ephesians 3:5, that the Gentiles, the nations, should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. You see that? The Gentiles, fellow heirs. Pretty exciting stuff. So, in what way would all the families of the earth be blessed? Well, it would be through the seed of Abraham, that was Jesus Christ. There's a verse I hadn't written down here, but I'll find it real quick. It's in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, where it says, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds, plural, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." So when God talked to Abraham and talked about his seed, well, there's a double meaning to that. The word seed is in the singular, but it's understood as a person's seed would be all of his descendants. But there's also a meaning here that's spelled out in Galatians 3:16, that when God said thy seed, that there's a reference to the one, which is Jesus Christ, okay? And it's through Jesus Christ that all the families of the earth are blessed. We'll be coming back to Galatians, but first I want to go to Romans, spend a little bit of time there, because in Romans chapter 4, it's all about Abraham and those that would believe in God as Abraham did. And there's some things that I want to pay attention to in this chapter, and that is how all the families of the earth would be blessed in Abraham, okay? So in Romans 4, Apostle Paul had just gone over how salvation would be by believing and not by the works of the law. And now in 4:1, he says, "What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh hath found?" Now he calls Abraham our father, and Paul, being an Israelite, could certainly say that from a physical point of view, right? Mm-hmm. But he's addressing a group of believers, some of whom were Jewish, but many of whom were Gentiles. So as we read this, ask yourself, when he said our father, is he just talking about those of Israel? Or is he talking about everybody being addressed in this epistle, being able to call Abraham our father? So let's keep reading. Verse 2, "For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed," and that's Makarios, happy, "are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed, happy is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." Verse 9 says, "Cometh this blessedness," or this happiness, "then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How is it then reckoned, when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Well, that verse that says that Abraham believed God and God imputed it to him for righteousness, that was in chapter 15 of Genesis. The circumcision took place in chapter 17 of Genesis. So was Abraham circumcised at the time that God said he was righteous by believing? No, he was not yet circumcised. He was uncircumcised, just like all the Gentiles, right? So it says not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. So, when it says Abraham our father, was he talking about just those of Israel? No, it explains it right here in verse 11, that he's the father of all them that believe, even if they are not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Verse 12, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith, that believing of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. Okay, so it's shifted the sanctification, the separation from what's common has shifted from those that were circumcised to those that believe. When God gave Abraham the covenant of circumcision, it was clear that to be included in the inside of that group, they had to be circumcised. But now, after Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, the lines are redrawn. That line of sanctification of who's on the inside and who's on the outside is now based on believing, not on circumcision, certainly not on bloodline either. Verse 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So this promise that Abraham would be the heir of the world was not given to him when the law was in effect. It was before the law was in effect, right? It was just because he believed God and God counted him righteous because he believed. Verse 14, for if they which are of the law be heirs, faith or believing is made void and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. That's why Abraham married his half-sister. Under the law, that would be forbidden, but the law was not in effect yet. There was no law that said you couldn't do that. It was okay. Abraham was not faulted for that. There may have been other things that under the law couldn't be done, but because the law was not yet in effect, it was all right. There was no law against it. Verse 16, therefore it is of faith, of believing, that it might be by grace, unmerited favor, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. There's the seed there. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Not just the father of us of Israel, but the father of us all. All who? All who believe in Jesus Christ. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. He said that when he changed his name from Abram to Abraham. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, makes the dead alive. And Abraham understood that about God, that he was able to do that. And he calleth those things which be not as though they were. Abraham understood that about God, that if God said something, even though it hadn't happened yet, if God put it in the past tense, that means it was guaranteed to happen. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith in believing, he considered, again, you know the word not is not in most of the Greek texts. So the Greek text would read, and being not weak in faith, he considered his own body now dead. He didn't ignore that. He considered it. when he was about 100 years old, and then the Greek text would read, and yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He considered both those things, but he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He didn't doubt it. The word stagger is the same word translated to doubt, okay? He didn't doubt the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith or strengthened in believing, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he was able also to perform. He had no doubt. He was fully persuaded of this. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it, or righteousness, shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So, how did all the families of the earth become blessed in Abraham? Well, anybody that would believe out of all the families of the earth are blessed with Abraham. If people don't believe, then they're on their own. But if they believe in the one who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, then they're blessed with faithful Abraham. And we'll go back to Galatians to see this further, because in Galatians chapter 3, start in verse 5, where it says, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So do you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit by doing the works of the law, or do you receive it by hearing and believing? You see, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, of believing, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. And that word heathen is the word ethnos, the nations. It sounds bad when you translate it heathen, you know, like they're all bad people. But it just means the nations, the extended families of the earth. All the descendants of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, you see? And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify or make righteous the nations through faith, through believing, preached the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And that is how God made it so that all the families of the earth would be blessed in Abraham, because he knew what was coming. He knew what he was planning. You know, God knew what his son would do, and he knew that there would be the time coming that whoever would believe in Jesus Christ, who was the seed of Abraham, would be able to receive this gift of Holy Spirit, become children of God, become fellow heirs, and receive all the blessings of Abraham. So God poured it out to this one man and his family, but out of his family came the Christ, and through Christ, all the families of the earth can now be blessed. So just to review that sevenfold blessing very quickly, we'll just read it once more in Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3. He told Abraham, or Abram at the time, and I will make of thee a great nation. We saw that, how amazingly big Abraham's family came to be and is still growing. And I will bless thee. So we saw how God personally blessed Abraham as an individual. And make thy name great. His name became very well respected during his day, and then even more so after his death. It's being honored right now as we speak. And thou shalt be a blessing. So Abraham would not only be blessed himself, but be a means of blessing others. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And that part of it certainly included not only Abraham, but Isaac, Jacob, and all the family afterwards. All right? And last of all, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And that's why we are so very blessed today. So We're not done studying the blessings of God. We're done studying this aspect, this sevenfold blessing that God gave to Abraham. But there's other things regarding the blessings of God that I would like to look at together in the weeks to come. We've been doing this for 8 weeks now, but it's such a big topic and there's so much depth to it. And it's certainly worthwhile digging into it and getting as rich of an understanding of the blessings of God as we can. And the result of that will be such a great appreciation in our hearts and minds to God for what he's done for us. And it also makes you want to share it with other people, because when you have something good and the more you get to know about the good thing that you've got, the more you just want to tell people. So it's all good and all valuable. So we will end this tonight at this point and meet again next week.